Office of Senator Menendez.
Good morning. My name is Brian Powers. I live in Avenel, New Jersey, Middlesex County. I'd like to speak with somebody with regards to our position on Venezuela.
Yes, sir. Well, I can take your message and pass along to the senator and the proper parties within our staff here.
Okay, I have a question. I have five boys, and the oldest one is 19. The youngest one is going to be five soon. And I'm wondering who's going to die in Venezuela. Because our senator doesn't have the courage to stand up to warmongers and convicted war criminals on this position. I want to know why my money is being spent to overthrow a democratically elected regime in Venezuela while Senator Menendez does nothing and supports Donald Trump and a bunch of white supremacists who are about to slaughter people for oil. Do you have an answer for that while I'm on the phone with you?
No, sir. Unfortunately, the senator hasn't released an official comment.
No, the senator hasn't done anything while people are about to get massacred in a continent that is land connected to our country. So why hasn't the office put out anything yet?
The senator and our staff are evaluating how they're going to respond, sir.
You senator and your staff are going to kill my kids if you don't take some action within hours. People are going to die. This is Iraq, man. Did anybody over there pay attention to Iraq? How old are you? Were you around, alive in Iraq happened?
Yes, sir.
You want that again? Do you have family? Anybody going to die in South America for this shit?
Yes, sir. I'm going to have to let you go now. Thank you for your call. You have a wonderful day, sir.
Make sure he gets my message. Do you have my
name? Yes, sir. All messages. Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Powers. I have your number here.
You have my name, and I'll be on Facebook questioning him, too. He can respond anytime he feels like doing his goddamn job. Have a nice day.
Yes, sir. You as well. Thank you.
Blue, no matter who.
Good
right?
evening, everybody. This is New Jersey Revolution Radio live with Diane Moxley in studio here in JRR North. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. That was my phone call to Bob Menendez that I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah.
I should be proud of it, I think. I don't know. Was it too much?
Well, I understand you're passionate about not massacring a shit ton of people. I'm passionate about that too.
Yeah. Seems like more people should be on my side.
Yeah.
Seems like more people should be on our side.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats today are making us nostalgic for the 1980s, right?
Right.
It's like, could you pretend to be a just right of center political party? But no, they're going way, way out there.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit about our comrade, Diane Moxley, here, before we get started, you know, with the show. Of course, Diane was talking, we were talking on the phone about Venezuela. We're going to talk a lot about Venezuela, I imagine, the first part of the show here.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of clips to play, not only from New Jersey Revolution Radio, which our live stream is, of course, Diane, you were down there, Tom and Madeline and everybody that's been down there getting us clips and footage. Just, I haven't had the time to go through them. There's been so much just from our streamers alone.
Yeah.
And then news to share. I got to give them a plug for giving us some clips as well. So we can go over some of that.
That's Ford Fisher with news to share. He's been down there for weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he's even spent some time in the embassy. So he,
great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff. So we'll share his little montage
give him
in
a
minute.
Plug and
absolutely.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned that now you lawyer for a living. You do family law, right? Mainly.
Yeah. I did work for legal services for over 14 years. Now I'm solo, but my heart is still in the
family
law
practice.
That helps helps people in whatever way, shape, and form.
But before that, you went to NYU and you studied. I'm sorry. Go ahead, back up. I got your biography wrong. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Correct me.
CUNY law, which back just before I was there and kind of when I was there, was also called commie law. sorry for any alum, but I think most of my alum would appreciate that. So it was the leftist law school that you went to if you really wanted to make sure you were going to be pigeonholed into public interest law and, you know, law in the service of human needs. So in whatever way, shape, or form, we serve the people.
Yeah. So, but prior to that, you studied international law or international criminal law? So you have
A good amount of coursework. I was initially looking into going into international human rights law, did assisting the professor from that clinic, and of course, coursework in international law, international human rights law. So I have somewhat of an understanding and background, although I've been doing violence work and work with women in all areas of the family part in Essex County, and
right,
you know, so that's where I am today. But of course, you know, you can't help but brush up on some of your background when you're hearing this almost comical situation that happened at the beginning of this week.
Right?
Yeah, Monday night. I know you were watching some of that stream on Monday night, right?
I was. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, and it was hard a little bit to discern what was happening. And you've gotten some more details since that happened. So maybe you could fill me in a little bit here as to what was going on. So we see the police come up to the police come up to this building, which has been barricaded from, you know, 30 days, so 34 days, something like that?
Yeah, I think by Monday they were around 34 days. Mm-hmm.
So they come up and they open the outer doors.
But let's step back one moment.
Okay, go ahead. There you go.
That morning there was a bizarre notice that was posted. I think it was reported that this bizarre notice was posted on the front of the embassy doors at like 6:45 in the morning. And it was some type of trespass notice. It was not a legal pleading. It was not a court order. There was no letterhead, no signatures, no authority set. And you couldn't even really tell where this bizarre document came from. You know, I was even wondering if it came from the counter-protesters, the fascist pro-war goons that...
So it didn't look real.
I mean, if it was if Obama, somebody was wrote it, actually, did, but the scary thing is,
was
it
the same
like,
people that did Obama's birth certificate?
I think they did a much better job, actually, which was terrifying. I mean, you can see it's out on Twitter. I think it's even on my Twitter feed. You know, you could see. I don't even want to call it a document. You know, it's you know, I don't know if fake ambassador Vecchio wrote it. It's like, are you so fake that you don't even have a letterhead? You don't know how to have somebody draft some type of legal pleading for some type of an eviction? Which, you know, when you talk about like landlord-tenant law, I don't know DC landlord-tenant law, but, you know, regardless, you have to have an authority. If something has to be filed with a court, you have to get a court order. So I don't think you even have to be an attorney to look at that piece of paper and just say, what the hell is this? Yeah.
It's a start, but it's what we've seen from this whole affair is just not, like, for those of us, I guess, that pay attention to politics or have some kind of background, it's so transparent how, that's all right. That's why we have a nice.
It's white tea. So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
light.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Those were very cheap tablecloths. Diane just spilled a little drink on that. That's no big deal. At the very start, you know, we've been saying that this Juan Guaido guy is just a joke. Like, what is he doing? He's literally, first, he starts by going around to other countries to try to become president of his country. That's not the way democracy works. Then he lobbies South American countries to bomb his own country. Now, then he's running around saying the military's going to join him and rise up, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Now he's lobbying our military. When do people get that this guy's a joke? When does it set in that this isn't happening and that the Venezuelan people do not give a shit about Juan Guaido?
And how the opposition, over here, the people we were talking to on Saturday, how could you support the concept of this self-declared interim president who actually wants to bomb your country? He was pleading basically on Saturday for us to come in and bring the military in. So the embassy, it's, I don't even want to say it's symbolic because it's actually really, really dreadful to think that you could have, the law with an embassy, a foreign embassy, is you just can't walk in without permission. It's as if you're in their sovereign land and their sovereign territory. And that's what I did think was interesting when you watched the little scene on Monday night. I don't think they actually entered the inner doors of the embassy. I think the talking was happening. I joked, it's like, you don't invite the vampires in.
That might have been like, I'm getting, maybe they were doing some kind of trick where they couldn't enter because they didn't have a legal warrant. But maybe if they said something like, yeah, you could come in, and they were trying to rope them into, some kind of, because bureaucrats try to trick you up like that. Cops try to trick you up. Like if you do something,
invite us in.
Like, yeah, they let us in. They said this and they got them on tape saying something, they could justify coming in and removing people.
Them.
And
they invited
didn't,
us
they
in.
They had an attorney there with them. Thank God for
attorney.
See how having
attorney,
lawyers around is
Shout
helpful.
Out to, I don't want to butcher her name. I believe it's Mara Verheiden Hillard. And she's with Partnership for Civil Justice Fund. And it seemed like, from what I heard, it sounded like the protectors were doing a good job of legally arguing for themselves when the federal law enforcement was at the door. And the attorney just stayed behind law enforcement to keep an eye on what was going on. And we know that law enforcement, it sounds like they did use this ridiculous letter, which law enforcement knows what orders look like and warrants look like. So I don't understand.
Right. These are official documents.
Yeah. International law wise, even landlord tenant wise.
I mean,
this is fascinating.
You're trying to throw
it's
out
crazy.
People on sovereign territory. You would
with
think you would have
a scrap of paper.
It's like one step above crayon, Like Vecchio is just running around doing whatever he can.
Funny if
so
it
let's
was, yeah.
let's listen to yeah. some. Let's listen to some of this news to share stuff because I think they did a great job out there. And this is looking at the scene from the embassy, and we're watching activists hang flags, and what you're hearing in front there. Now here's the police showing up.
Yeah, and
any person who refuses to comply with these requests in order to depart from this property will be trespassing in violation of federal and District of Columbia law and may be arrested and criminally prosecuted.
Oh, that's fun. So what's the point of that noise?
Sometimes that's the opposition. They like to torment the people in the embassy.
Right.
It's kind of funny watching them celebrating and then see the big letdown.
Any of the former representatives to allow any individuals to lawfully enter, remain on this property, or take any other action with respect to this property.
So we just got
there
a notice
is,
posted
yeah,
on,
look
the front,
at it.
On the front door.
Oh, they made that up in word, man.
Police department that posted it.
Who's it from?
Basically, the order said
there's
that we were trespassing and that we needed
nothing.
To leave if we didn't want to be arrested.
Well, wow. I mean, that piece of paper says it all. It's not even written on the right. They didn't even put the signature on the correct side.
There's
it's
not
dated
even a
on the bottom.
Is there a signature? There's
it's
no
dated. It's dated on the bottom.
But
the
there's no
door.
Signature.
No, there isn't.
Who is it from? Is it from fake Ambassador Vecchio?
It says Embassy and OAS Mission. It doesn't say two. It stops off trespassing notice. This property, blah, blah, blah. But no, it's not signed. And the date, the format is wrong.
But there's no authority.
It looks like the 15-year-old wrote it.
Yeah.
Who was learning how to do this in high
school. Yeah, the writing is poor. There's no authority. I'd be embarrassed if I was fake Ambassador Vecchio.
it really is.
If it's from him, I feel bad. I'm hoping it's some random opposition person, but it seemed like law enforcement was reading that bizarre document before they were going to go to the front door and cut off the chains that were on the door that were put there by the Embassy Protection Collective. So I guess they were using that fake, ridiculous document.
Just there was a big boost today. And again, news to share, newstoshare.com. That's NEWS, the number 2 share for these clips. Thanks a lot for their support of New Jersey Revolution Radio. And we're watching them now with Jesse Jackson approaching the building here.
Yep.
He's got himself a couple of backpacks filled with supplies and stuff.
And we have some Maryland greens. I believe that's Paul Pumphreys,
mm-hmm.
who's with Reverend Jesse Jackson. We have, I see, Ann Wright with Code Pink. Mm-hmm. And we know Green Party vice presidential candidate Ajamu Baraka.
We will keep covering, you know, this embassy stuff. There's a national mobilization going on Saturday.
Yes,
do we we want to make sure we have a mobilization going on tomorrow? So let's let
there's a rally tomorrow.
There's a rally tomorrow.
At,
let's let people
One
know about
Gateway,
that.
In downtown Newark, right across from Penn Station, and there's a Facebook event for that. We do have a Facebook event where people connect to carpool down to a very large rally on Saturday at noon at the Venezuelan Embassy in D.C. Come on down. I think the weather's still going to be decent. It really does help our embassy protector collective when they see us out there. I can't imagine being in that building for weeks. So they've been doing their duty, being there, holding that space for 34 days. So I'm asking everybody to come down there whenever you can. But this Saturday at noon is really important. I understand that Reverend Jesse Jackson might be there for a few days to continue to make sure food comes down. And I think we should make a call to those, supposedly left Democrats and any of our left celebrities. I don't know if anybody wants to write out some names of who we should say, hey, come on down Saturday at noon. If you're really anti-war, if you're really anti-imperialist, you need to get down to the embassy on Saturday at noon. And, we have to show the people, because this story is not getting mainstream coverage. And the Facebook event is NJVZ Embassy Protection. NJVZ Embassy Protection Mobilization Carpooling. So go to that Facebook page and you can connect with a carpool. And if you're not in New Jersey, but you can drive out on Saturday, please drive out.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. And of course, if you have any questions about how you can help, you can message New Jersey Revolution Radio on Facebook or info@njrevolutionradio.com if you have any questions about mobilization efforts or how you can help. We can refer. We want to thank, Bob Wutanik and Madeline and you and everybody involved in New Jersey Anti-War Coalition.
Yeah.
It's been really heartening. If you're going to take a positive out of all this mess, it's the fact that New Jersey has really shown that they can mobilize and send support where they need it. We've been down in Washington protecting the embassy, and I think, we need to keep it up, and we need to encourage more people around the country. For those of us that, particularly with the Green Party has been our network, but, those of with other networks, get it out there. We got to stop this war.
The true left has to unite and stop this war. Unfortunately, right now, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, it's the same old regarding imperialism and war.
It is. So
call out your presidential candidates. I think Tulsi Gabbard made a statement today, but she's the only one. What do we got? Reagan Democrats, running for 2020? Come on. If they're your candidate, if they're your You know, it's that whoever you're throwing your energy behind, call them out. Ask them to make a statement.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. So we are going to move along. We also have to, of course, mention justice for Jameek. I see Corey on the live stream. Hey, Corey, how you doing? You know, we continue to have very little answers. Mm. You know, we still don't. We are working up to, I guess, 130, 140 days. And we will be mentioning Jameek Lowry's unsolved murder in Patterson at the hands of unnamed Patterson police. I mean, they've admitted that the police killed the guy. They've admitted that he went in, that they used the compliance hold, and he showed up at the hospital dead. We still don't know what police, why compliance were holds, anything like that. And, you know, if we do this show for 50 years every week, I'm going to mention that man's name until, you know, his family sees justice. You know?
And we don't have updates because there's not a conclusion with this investigation.
No, but we're not going away. Yeah. And I see Corey's staying on top of it, and he posts regularly, and we thank him for all his efforts. And this is just our way of showing solidarity, is making sure we mention it every week. If we have updates, of course, we will give them. But I'll at least give him a mention.
Yeah.
And I did want to, of course, once again, remind everybody what a scumbag Steve Sweeney is.
Oh.
Did you see what he did today? Well, you know, he's introducing legislation tomorrow.
Yeah, I
he's fucking
so yeah. Tell us what
so
is
he's,
this
Steve
new
Sweeney,
ridiculousness.
The one-note politician, is going after state workers again. He wants the he says he's going to protect the state workers in the plan, but screw. I mean, you got a union guy taking away people's pensions and taking pension plans away from people and cutting and increasing health care costs. He needs to be. I wrote an op-ed for New Jersey Revolution Radio in October of last year.
Okay.
It's saying he needs to be removed from the AFL-CIO, and I'm wondering when people are going to start to take this seriously. You know, I'm thinking about how everybody in these little liberal groups and unions like to make fun of the Greens for being small and insignificant. But we've had
issues. What is your significance if you're not working for the people?
But we've had issues with narcissism in the Greens, and we've had people that are disruptors, and we probably deal with it a lot better than these establishment groups because they promote these lunatics.
Yeah.
And this guy Steve Sweeney, is a cancer to the AFL-CIO. He's a cancer to the working class. I don't know how the hell he's a job with an iron workers union or whatever he is. But it's a disgrace to the union movement, and the union movement needs to start looking at union leaders that do things like what Steve Sweeney's doing here in New Jersey, who's a class collaborator with a corporate pig, Don Norcross, and his cronies. And he's got no place in the union movement. He's got no place in the union movement.
Every Democrat in New Jersey knows he's, you know, how many steps right of center, you know, how connected with. And I'd say, too, we could have a show one day about unions because as long as the Democrats are veering right more further and further right with each election season. You know, we need the true left to take back over the unions because they no longer represent the interests of the working class. That's why people are starting to have a negative outlook on unions. I mean, I'm very pro-union. I was a union member for over 14 years with the National Organization of Legal Services Workers under the UAW. And I know there's a lot of people, we had trouble getting people to, you know, increase union dues. And it's because, you know, they don't poll their workers when they're endorsing candidates. They don't, you know, they're not really, you know, I know unions are their members and, you know, we are what we make of it. But as long as we have this, you know, strongholds that the Democrats have over unions, we're no longer doing work for the people. So we need to work on that. And I think we could do a show down the road with some union organizers and maybe the more lefty ones. I know we have some friends.
We could do a lot of shows on that, I'm telling
you. Yeah. So we should do that down the road.
You know, I spent a lifetime working in the union movement and I just came off of a job of seeing it work from the inside out for 4 years. And yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess, and it's all, in my mind, and from what I've seen in my experience, and I've gotten no less cynical as I've grown older, is just because of the influence of the Democratic Party. Union leaders now act like Democratic Party officials.
Yeah, just a wing of the Democratic Party and not doing the work of the people.
And that culture has rubbed off. That cutthroat political culture of just win an election. Just win an election. Union presidents just want to win an election, keep their salary, keep their power, rather than really work for the people. And that all directly comes from a corporate mindset from the Democratic Party. I'm utterly convinced of it.
Yeah. And it's the leadership. They're not doing the work of the people, and they should be called out for it.
Yeah, well, I've been doing that. We'll talk about that more.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it more someday.
Yep.
I do have to get to our interview. Lark is on the phone right now. Before we get into that, of course, we do have to play our commercial.
Okay.
Get ready for the next event from New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hi, I'm Becky from the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Community Cannabis Forum on May 29th with New Jersey Revolution Radio.
With host Henry Hank Green.
What I would like to do is make sure that people get a full and an educational and an understanding of what this legislation is about and how it will affect their lives.
And the New Jersey weed man, Ed Fortune.
The governor ran on that. That's what he ran on. He kept talking about equity and legalization. We're going to have diversity. We're going to help the communities that were victimized by the war on drugs, blah, 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 blah.
For more information on this event or for activism going on all over New Jersey, join us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com.
Lark, it's great seeing you again.
Great seeing you too.
You look great. I hope
you're,
are you in the great state of New Jersey, or are you out of the country?
I am actually in the great state of New Jersey.
Wonderful. Yay. Wonderful. Okay. I'm going to let you have it with Diane. Thanks for joining us tonight, Diane.
Okay. Hi, Lark. So glad you could join us. Sorry you're not completely on our live stream video, but I think Brian should point the camera at you. So, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
Excellent. Now, I know you have an event coming up, and we could talk about anything else you want to talk about, but do you want to tell our viewers about your event?
On May 23rd, actually Thursday, May 23rd, we're launching the online, well, actually, it's the Accomplices book group. But actually, this one's going to be online, but sometimes it's going to be in person also. And what it is that we get books that are social justice oriented for children, and we actually do a book discussion about it in regards to topics of race, the environment, political issues. Because the thing is that, you know, I feel that those of us on the left, we're starting too late. We're starting too late when we're
too good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So we're starting too late in regards to talking about, you know, important issues. You know, children, especially like they start building who they are by the age of 3. Children as young as 3, they actually make determinations of who you are and your actions just based on your race. That's research. That's actual, you know, they've actually done research to see this. So the fact that we kind of save talks about politics, anti-racism until people are in junior high, you know, it creates this kind of issue. Because I think in a way, once people have this idea of, you know, capitalism is the right way, racism is the right way, I don't think you could ever really get them out of it.
Yeah.
So it works better, I think, if we start incorporating this into every part of our life and start talking about it when people are younger. But the thing is, this book club is actually for adults, which we talk about children's books, but it's kind of like it's for adults. It's like, this is how we can, you know, it's a way to have a conversation about race.
Yeah.
And about social justice, but also it's a way, especially for people, I think, who are almost, you know, they're not as advanced on different topics. They've been in a very kind of like, you know, world where they're, you know, they haven't been in a very diverse world, whether it not be racially or socioeconomically. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes children books are really good to explain like more complicated topics to people who don't have a grasp on more complicated issues, or they haven't gotten there yet. They're still kind of young in regards to their understanding of a certain topic.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So even though this is for adults, you're going to be talking about this in regards to children as young as 3 years old to give them other options than I'm assuming is what is out there in preschools and daycares and people's homes, right?
Yes. I mean, the thing is that Equity Preschools, we're kind of, this is from my group called Equity Preschool. And Equity Preschool does two things. Number one, bring social justice to the classroom, family child care centers, et cetera, but also bring justice to workers. Child care workers are some of the lowest paid workers in the United States. I mean, so considering in regards to the education you have to do to even get it, be a child care worker, you have to be, you know, you have to get units, et cetera, et cetera. Their average wage is $10 an hour.
Wow.
And they're, you know, it's 90% women. A great deal of women of color are child care workers. And that is another thing too. It's like, you know, child care, there's a kind of differentiate between child care and preschool. Preschool was for people of privilege and child care was for the helps children. So who cares what those people get paid? Who cares what kind of quality that working conditions for those workers, but also who cares about what's happening with the children? But to me, it's twofold. You can't talk about equality and equity and justice for children if you're not talking about equality and equity and justice for the people who work in the field. Because that's it's kind of like this. Care work supports everybody's work. If no one cleans your house, if you know, if your house wasn't clean, if you had no food, if no one could take care of your kids, then you then everything would stop. Everything. You know, and that's the thing. It's like people have no respect for that because predominantly, you know, these fields have been filled with women, been filled with people of color. So it's viewed as kind of like not as important. You think about the unions and all this stuff and how, you know, child care workers have been excluded from the union movement. And why is that? Why have child care workers been excluded from the union movement? Why can't the way a plumber takes, if a plumber, regardless if he works for a company or he works for himself, a plumber has a union wages, has a certain wage, or they are journeymen, they can be their own boss. But a child care worker doesn't have that same right because it's viewed as if the profession is women, if it's filled with people of color, then they don't deserve to have that kind of autonomy that an electrician would have or a plumber would have, or something that people who are white men traditionally do. That's viewed as you can have autonomy, but if you are a woman, you don't deserve that. And so, you know, Equity Preschool is two things. It's like treating, talking about social justice and equity, but also, you know, bringing it, making it universal, talking about it in the workers, way of the workers, and talking about the way of the children, talk about in the way of the parents, talk about the whole community. That's it's great. Economic. Like if you go to what we talk about economics, we talk about politics, we talk about all of these things because you can't talk about childcare and just, and that's the thing people like to do when they're talking about young children. They very much like to just talk about the children. And they kind of like, you know, like kind of like this issue what we're having with, you know, abortion in Alabama. It's like women are viewed as just tools to have babies. So women workers are viewed as just, you know, people like machines to take care of the babies of people who are going to work. So we try to kind of add all that in and kind of like in regards to what we do.
Wow. And do you think this work would even eventually kick off some type of daycare, you know, child care union? Because it is interesting, you know, we were just talking about unions, Brian and I, and I honestly, until you brought it up, I had never thought about the fact that childcare workers are not unionized. I utilized childcare workers when my daughter was a toddler. I've done childcare work, and I'm amazed that with the interactions I've had and have had been a union member for over 14 years, the thought never crossed my mind, and I'm embarrassed to admit it, that daycare workers are workers and should be unionized. You know, they're doing some of the most important work in the world. They have more hours than some parents have with those children and molding their minds, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, we don't think about it because it's not viewed as something that's important. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, well, there's this kind of this study, it's in Spain. And when men in Spain got paternity leave to have, to take time with their children, mm-hmm. at that point, they were like, oh, maybe we don't want to have as many children. They started to value the work. Like once they were doing the work, they were like, oh, this is hard. But I mean, the thing is that women have been trained to kind of like go, your work is not valuable. What mm-hmm. you do, like taking care of children is not valuable. Cleaning the house is not valuable. Mm-hmm. But think about what happens, in your life. If you never cleaned your house, you never dealt with your kid, you never did mm-hmm. your laundry, what would happen? Could you go to work? Could you get anything done? Could mm-hmm. you even if you're in a professional, that work is the backbone of society.
Yeah,
if you're
essential.
You have no food, you have no clean clothes, you have no one to take care of your kid, you can't do anything. That's the root of society.
Yeah.
But owing to, classism, racism, mm-hmm. it's really hard to get people to like think about, oh, well, I don't want to pay, how do we know it's quality care? How do we know it's quality care? Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you know the police officer is killing people? How do you know he's a quality worker? Okay. I mean, he's 6 months training and no one complains about that.
Yeah.
Especially like in New Jersey, think about how much of your tax dollars are going to pay for a person that officially has 6 months training and mm-hmm. they're getting paid more than a teacher.
Yeah.
And why? Why? I mean, no one ever questions that. But people, if it's about somebody taking care of, well, how do we know it's quality? How do you know they deserve to have a livable wage? Hmm. How do we know they deserve to have a just wage? Yeah. There's always these kind of like, I don't know. It's very bizarre. Like when anything that women do, it's viewed as suspect. I mean, I even think mm-hmm. about like, I was a school teacher and, mm-hmm. We don't get we don't get Social Security. We don't get Social Security, but that's yeah. they're like, oh, well, you get a pension, you're a union yeah. worker, but police officers get Social Security, yeah. firemen get Social Security,
and a pension.
Oh, but yeah. the thing is that women, our jobs were set up, if it's a field that's predominantly women,
mm-hmm.
the idea was that our income is supplemental.
Mm.
It's supplemental mm-hmm. to your husband's income.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this is not the case anymore,
yeah.
it's still set up the exact same way.
Yeah.
Oh, this is for supplemental. You're just doing this for a little bit of extra change.
Shopping
you're
money.
You're just doing this. Yeah. yeah, you're just doing it for shopping money. And then, and it's, it's. And but also too, another mm. in California, you have the teachers union, which is predominantly white,
mm-hmm.
fighting the childcare workers who want to unionize, who want to make money. You have, these women stopping these other women because they don't, even though they're oppressed as women mm-hmm. in regards to the field of education, they get paid less. They still want to have the right to be better than these other women.
Mm, and it's sometimes women are our own worst enemy, right?
Yeah, well, it's just, mm-hmm. It's very, it's just very interesting. When I heard about that, I was very disappointed in regards to, giving women who were child, now because it's going to universal pre-K, a lot of women who were qualified as child care workers, they're pushing them out of the field. But the thing is that a lot of these people a lot of these women are women of color. Mm-hmm. A lot of these women are women who are socioeconomically oppressed. So you're going to push them out the field and you're not going to give them a ladder to get up to reach to be qualified.
Mm.
You're not going to grandfather them in or grandmother them in.
Yeah.
In every other field, if it was a predominantly male field, you wouldn't just throw those people out into the street.
No. You'd want to build up your union. You'd want to strengthen your
exactly.
union with numbers.
And so, it goes again with this problem with the union and mm-hmm. its kind of protection of the white
mm-hmm.
working class and this kind of, I don't care about where everybody else, as long as I got mine,
mm-hmm.
I don't care. And that's disappointing because it could be so much stronger. I'm talking about California. I don't know what's going on here. But in California, that's what's happening, and
yeah.
it's you know, it's disappointing. But I mean, the thing is that our thing was it's a but you know we start you know mm-hmm. we call the online the accomplices book group because we also wanted to, people to know that this is not this book group is open, you know, and we're welcoming to white people who want to learn yeah. about social justice issues. I feel that you know. It, you know, people can learn and people, you know, if they're open, you know, we want to be open in regards mm-hmm. to giving people an opportunity to grow. So that's kind of like why we called it the Accomplices book group, because I don't want just people to just be like, you know, well, we're never going to get along. Just forget about it. I mean, okay. what would really be the point in all this? You know, it's so.
Okay, so you yeah. so you want white allies to show up and learn?
Well, just to learn, just have a conversation. Where, you know, yeah. it's about, you know, it's open to everybody. It's, I mean, okay. but the thing is, you know, is it's kind of like, a lot of people are kind of like, I don't want to come into a space, you know, if it's a space specifically for people of color. I mean, the person who I'm doing this with is a white woman. Okay. And I just, you know, we want people to know, like, yeah, we do want you to come. And when, and unlike some people, like, there's some groups that are like, yeah, if you come, you're going to cry. No, mm-hmm. we're early childhood educators. Not saying that that's bad or whatever necessarily, but mm-hmm. that's just not how we operate. We operate a different way.
Okay.
You know, because the thing is this, is that we understand that racism, sexism, classism, it's institutional.
Mm-hmm.
And so us fighting each other, mm-hmm. like to a certain level where, you know, us fighting each other on some ways, it's like, how helpful is that? Because really this is about an institutional level. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to have some hard conversations, but you know, our goal isn't for you to like leave this and like never come back. Like, this is such a horrible experience. I'm never coming back here. Our goal is to build alliances so that we can kind of have, like, you know, when if you're in Montclair and you're a kindergarten teacher and it comes up that the childcare workers who are predominantly African American and Latinx mm-hmm. are unionizing, hopefully, like, you'd be like, you know, you will make a connection and you won't be part of the problem. You will be like, hey, like, they are doing work too. Yeah. And this, you know, this book club is just kind of part of a way to, you know, introduce parents and early child educators to these really cool books, but also a way to have some conversations in a really simple way. Like, the first book that we are looking at is A is for Activists. And it kind of, you know, it actually goes through the alphabet and it talks about, you know, A is for Activists, it talks about, like, you know, C is for Cooperation, you know, L is for LGBT community. You know, so it's like, you know, it's like these great things that you can have a conversation with each other, but also with your kids. I mean, the thing is that if you don't talk about these things with your kids, that it will, well, if I don't say anything bad,
mm-hmm.
then it's fine. But, you know, the thing is this, is that, you know, society, the institution is racist, the institution is sexist, the institution praises capitalism. If you don't directly say to your small child, like, hey, I think racism is, you know, racism is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, competition and the idea that someone always has to lose, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you put those things in their head when they're younger, and it's like, you know, they have that resilience to fight to bounce off, like, racism and sexism and capitalism mm-hmm. because they're like, oh, you know, my mom or my dad, they said this was wrong. And maybe, you know, their friends might encourage something else, but they'll always go back to that because at least they have that base. And I think a lot of people yeah. don't even have anything to go back to. They don't even have a base. They thought, especially, you know, people who are kind of like, you know, had kind of more hippie, diverse type parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were like, you know, they talked about, like, oh yeah, everybody's okay, but they didn't talk about what happens when there's a person who thinks everybody's not okay. You know,
yeah.
you think, what do we do with that person? And you're like, that yeah. person's not okay. Somebody should have said something like that. So
yeah.
I hope I'm being clear.
No, I got you. And I think it's that, yeah, people don't want to have uncomfortable discussions. So they're not, you know, like, I know I've seen some trainings in the New York area about how to be a good upstander. So when you see something happening, what do you do? So if we start mm-hmm. having these conversations with very young children, then what do you do when you see it? And if you don't know what to do, maybe come to your parents, come to a childcare worker or a teacher, and maybe speak up on behalf of somebody who you see being bullied or harassed, or if you see racism. So, and I think if children and daycare providers aren't talking about it and parents aren't talking about it, it's something that needs to be brought to the surface, even if it makes mm-hmm. us uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I mean, the thing is that small books, little books like this are really easy, and we're going to have in-person meetings, probably in New York. But we're also going to have like online groups so that people can participate if they want to.
Great. Good. So, mm-hmm. The first one is online, so you can tune in
yes.
for the live online discussion, 8:30 to 9:30. Mm-hmm. And I see that it's a book club. Do people
yeah,
need
yeah.
to get this book in advance? How's that going to work?
You can go to the library and get it. I put down different library branches where you can go get the book.
Oh, great.
So either you can either, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you to go to Amazon.
Yeah.
You can go to the library. We just talked
yeah.
about the union. Go to Amazon, get the book.
I love libraries.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's available at most libraries. It's available at, you know, probably available at Montclair Library, Bloomfield, NYPL, the New York Public Library, the LA Public Library. So it's like, you know, no matter where you are, you could get a hold of this book and be able to access it. It's a board book. It's why I tell people too, I'm like, this is a book club. You can actually have read the book before the book club. It's only 32 pages.
I know. And it says, I know some hey, women get activist. Together and it's a book club and it's really just an excuse to drink wine, which not that there's anything wrong with that. So
yeah.
this one, you could actually read the book.
Exactly.
And maybe
that's
forego
too.
The wine till after.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Because it's for adults. I always yep. have to keep kind of saying that the concept, like, it's we're discussing children books with adults.
Great. Good. No, that's great. I think it's a wonderful
yeah.
idea. And you're going to have some of these live in New York? Is that what you were?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have
okay.
some live ones in New York and hopefully in Los Angeles.
Great.
But also, we also have the Olive and Dove. Olive and Dove story time, where we I'm so sorry. Yeah, where we kind of talk about social justice issues. We actually do like a story hour for children, and we talk about peace and stuff like that. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Great.
Yeah, so it's and I'm so sorry. It's called Dove and Crane. And we talk about it's called Dove
oh.
and Crane.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, Dove and Crane,
yeah.
and it's about it's talking about peace and cooperation with children, kind of like a story hour where we go to different libraries and talk about that kind of with children and talk about like, you know, themes of cooperation and themes of peace with children, just kind of to get them, you know, and we also talk about games that are non-competitive because, you know, it's so easy to talk about, to kind of like start this competition. Someone has to lose.
Yeah.
You know, people start this when kids are little. They're like, oh, you know what? People like say, like, if you're playing a game and you've set up a game and you're an adult, you set up a game where someone has to lose. That's getting kids used to capitalism. That's getting
yeah.
kids used to be exploitation.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
the thing is that, you know, and then when they've lost and they've been degraded and everything, you go up to them and be like, you need to be strong. You need to be okay that. You know, yeah, I know this other kid's like way bigger than you. And I know you didn't understand the game. And I know you didn't really want to play anyway. And now you're crying, but you really shouldn't be. If you want to be a good sport, you should just accept this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of how we train our children to be accepting of
yeah.
cruelty. And so, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
so what we're trying to do with like Dove and Crane is you know, we're a story hour, but also too, we play games. Like, how do you play a game where someone doesn't have to lose? You know, how do you, so we kind of, you know, depending on how long we have, depending on what location that we have, we do, that's what we do.
That's great. And where can people get more information about Dove and Crane? Where does this?
Right now it's living at, Equity Preschool on Facebook, but, you'll see it pop up at, another place soon, but right now just go to Equity Preschool on Facebook and it'll show up.
Okay. And that would be for more events for the online Accomplices book group?
Yeah. Accomplices book group and Dove and Crane. They'll both be there.
Both be there. Okay. And I know there's a Facebook event, and just so our viewers are aware, I know you said it at the beginning, but I just want to repeat it. This sounds like a great event. Thursday, May 23rd, 8:30 to 9:30, the online Accomplices book group is a Facebook event page, right?
Yes. It's a Facebook events page. But yeah, but if they look up Equity Preschool, they should be able to find it.
I posted the link in the comments on the Facebook page. Excellent. And, you know, so people can find it.
Great. So thank you so much for coming on. Sorry for our technical difficulties.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Lark. Okay. We appreciate having you. You know, I look forward to seeing you again. We got to get together soon. I send you a bunch of invites. I'm at everything. Yeah, I hope to see you soon. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So I got to switch wires so I can do the outro. So you're going to have to talk and do your plugs. Because I know you got stuff coming up. What do you got to plug?
Well, have stuff. We are growing Extinction Rebellion in New Jersey. So there is an Extinction Rebellion Facebook page. So please go there. And if you message the Facebook the Facebook page, which is Extinction Rebellion New Jersey, message that page with your email and contact information, and we'll make sure to keep you posted. Otherwise, we are going to start with regular meetings. We're going to start doing outreach, and we already have some ideas for some actions in New Jersey. So we're still working with Extinction Rebellion in New York. I know something really cool is going to come up maybe in about a little more than a month. So plug into xrr.nyc for that.
Absolutely.
And again, everybody, get to the Venezuelan embassy until our protectors have what they are looking for, which is, I want to get this right, it is a protecting power agreement, which is something that will be required before our protectors leave the embassy. So until you hear that that goes down, we need people. Yep, it's called a protecting power agreement between the U.S. and Venezuela to mutually protect each other's embassies with a neutral third party. So until we hear that that happens, we need people out there to give moral support to our brave embassy protector collective. So I know I'm really going to try to be there Saturday and tomorrow in Newark. On this issue, we have a rally outside of One Gateway Plaza in Newark across from Penn Station at 2:30.
2:30 p.m. Yeah.
So come on down there. But please, everybody come out Saturday. Bug your politicians and your celebrities and tell them they have to make a statement about this. We don't want war in Venezuela.
No, we don't.
No more war. We do not need a war with a fake coup and a fake self-declared president who has no authority.
Diane, thanks a lot for doing your job well again tonight. It was great hanging out with you. It was great having our friend Lark Lowe on the program. If you listening and you like what you heard or you like what you saw on Facebook Live, you can contribute to New Jersey Revolution Radio. Just go to www.njrevolutionradio.com and make a donation. Check out our other content. If you got any questions about what's going on as far as activism goes, we run the spectrum here from environmental issues to economic issues to social justice. If you want to get involved with something and you don't quite know how, message us info@njrevolutionradio.com or hit up the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll see you next week, 8 p.m. on New Jersey Revolution Radio Live with Diane Moxley. Good night, everybody.
See you next week. Bye.